Well, good morning to each one here this morning.
Good morning.
I greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. A welcome to each visitor that is here. There's some out there, I know. It's a little hard to spot them from up here, but we're glad you're here and hope that you receive something of value to take with you. It's a blessing for all the home folks. It looks pretty full here today for some reason. And Brother Linwood and Hannah, we look forward to the time you're here all the time again. It's good to have you here. So yes, what a blessing for what we heard or read this morning. Thank you, Jethro and Philip, for those very good lessons. I've been on both sides of that car picture you painted there, and I'm working on it, trying to do better. All right, I guess let's stand for prayer, and I'm looking for a volunteer here. Brother Joseph, would you raise your voice and pray for us?
Let's pray. Father, we do pause before you this morning. Again, thank you for the bread of life this morning. Thank you for your word and language that we understand, and the freedom we have today to meet unhindered and not worried that we're going to get torn apart today. We do pray for the preaching of your word, and we pray for the hearers, each one of us, that we could have soil prepared for your word, and that we could go home hearers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. Okay, trying to think of how to start this. Might start with a little rapid trail. It's making a delivery Friday, I think it was, going down the interstate, and I saw this billboard over here. It had these words on it. The best deals in the universe. I didn't stop to look what deals they were selling or nothing like that. That's all I saw, the best deals in the universe. And I thought, well, I'm not sure what that was, but I know of a real good deal. And this morning I'd like to tell you about the very best deal in this whole universe. That deal's available to every one of us. And you can have it without money. It's free. Someone paid a high price so that you and I can have this deal without a price or a cost. Now, this deal is eternal life, and it's not just living here on this sin-cursed earth forever with its sickness and its problems, but it's eternal life in heaven where there is no night, there's no sickness there, there's no partings, no pain. And where the tree of life yields its fruit every month, where the Father and the Son are, and because they are there, there's always light there. We all know about this marvelous deal that Jesus suffered and died so that we may live. We thank you, Jesus. Now, this wonderful deal is free. The prophet Isaiah put it this way: "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." So this deal is free, but there are some entrance requirements to get in the door to get it. First of all, we must want it, and want it bad enough that we are willing to forsake all to get it. We must believe in the one that who made it available to us, Jesus Christ. And we must call on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess and forsake our sins, and follow Jesus wherever he leads us, and he will bless us with that eternal life. Praise God. So for this best deal in the universe, if you haven't signed up for this deal yet, I strongly encourage you to do so. That's not the topic I was wanting to look at today, but just wanted to remind us there's a a super good deal out there for us today. Let's get it. We were sitting there singing, and well, maybe it was before we were singing, those lights were going off and on, and this one up here is not working anymore. I thought of a song that we used to sing, maybe more pertinent since I'm getting older, but it said, this house that I live in is going to decay, or something to that effect. I can't even remember all the words anymore, but things on this earth wear out. People get old and die, but we have this wonderful place in heaven for us if we apply for it. Okay, not sure how to get started here. There's something that keeps reminding me about this topic that I would like to talk about, or that we want to look at this morning. And there's two windows in this next room over here, the Sunday morning prayer room, that remind me about this, about every time I'm sitting in there. It was especially so, the one window, right after the Nickens had cleaned it, it was so clear, I almost had to go and see whether there was some glass in it. The window was spotlessly clear. And the other one right next to it is, I guess it's made out of plexiglass or something, I'm not sure, but it's a little more cloudy. And on a Sunday morning, as we sit there and the sun is shining on those trees outside there, the one where the clear glass is, it's just crystal clear. You can see every leaf, and the one right beside it, it's not so distinct. Things aren't that clear through that one. Well, maybe you've got a question about this question mark on the board here. First of all, I want to give credit where it's due. I did not make that. I probably couldn't make that if I wanted to. Brother Ben, you guessed it. Brother Ben made it for me. Thank you, Ben. It's just a visual. Get your interest up and maybe keep you on track as we go through this topic in case I lose you. So let me put the title up here. And I should get Ben up here to do it, I guess. So that's what the question mark is about, clearing question marks from your life. So a little heads up for those of you that don't know me so well. I usually don't have three nice concise points to keep you on track with what I'm trying to convey to you. So I'm sorry, but you're going to have to stop and shift your mind and gear so I don't lose you. And I trust the Lord will have, can and will have something that each one can glean that is pertinent to you. I marveled in the past already how the Lord can have different people get different things from the same sermon. It's just what each person needs. So it's amazing how that works. So those windows over here in this other room remind me of some people I know, some that I've heard of, I guess, maybe some that you know of. This is people who profess to be Christians, following the Lord Jesus, but some areas of their life are not clear. Some don't ring true. And when they're addressed about this area, they comply, but soon something else pops up over here or over there. in a slightly different form. And so it goes, just never quite getting rid of that question mark out of their life. The lights came on. Often they get weary of it. All they throw in the towel and leave or quit trying, and how sad that is. Just a little side note here. Thinking about getting addressed about something here at Blessed Hope. We believe in addressing concerns in people's lives. And I bless you brothers that do that. Some are very good at that. I need some growing in that area. So the burden of this message is that our lives could be like that clear window, crystal clear, transparent, nothing hazy or obscure like it is in that plexiglass window beside it. No question if that's a leaf or a bird that I'm seeing in that tree out there. I was going to tell you to swing by there and look at that window on your way out. It's not quite as clear this morning, I noticed, but there's still a marked difference. Now, hopefully we don't have any, or at least not many people here who are constantly having to be addressed in some area or another. And it keeps popping up over here or over there. But I would also like to bring this home to each one of us, this clearing of those questions from our life. There might be a few among us who are perfect, but most of us have a thing or two that we can work on till our lives are clear like that window over here, with no question marks popping up here or there. For an opening scripture, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll read verses 9, 10, and 11. So if you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So the people here at Corinth went all out to clear those question marks from their life. And may we be encouraged to do the same. And notice some of the words of how they did it. They sorrowed, first of all, for what that question mark was, whatever it was. There was a carefulness, a clearing, fear, zeal, revenge, a vehemence to not have this there. A good example for us to follow. So maybe just for an example of what I'm talking about. It's confession time. It's about this man right here. At a recent joint ministers meeting, I did something that was rather foolish. I don't think I'm going to tell you what it was, but it was totally unnecessary and uncalled for. And later I thought, Alan, you need to make sure that things like that don't happen again. And I think some of us have some things like that popping up in our lives from time to time, and we need to examine ourselves and ask, why did I do that? And if it wasn't for the glory of God, it needs to go. That question mark needs to be removed. So why did I do that foolish thing there at the minister's meeting? I was probably trying to be funny. and that mindset must go. It has to go. I need to clear that question mark from my life. Period. That's all there is to it. And I thought maybe for a little experiment here, I'm not asking you to do this, but if you want to, you can. Maybe ask some of the three brothers that were there what they think I might be referring to. And maybe you'll get three different answers and I'll have three things to work on instead of the one that I recognize. So that's how we are, if we're just honest with ourselves. If I saw one thing, there might be six. So clearing question marks from our life. We need to examine why we do something. I believe motives are a big deal with God. Back to Jethro's car example there. We can do things that are neither here nor there, but sometimes we can do something that's not so bad with a bad motive. So we need to examine why we do something. And as a child of God, realize we need to clear that question mark from our life if we see there's one there, so we don't bring a blot on the name of Christ. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, the prophet Nathan told King David, "By what you did, you gave the enemies of the Lord great occasion to blaspheme." We need to keep that in our mind. As Christians, we must be careful that our actions don't bring a reproach to the name of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So as we work on clearing those question marks from our life, we need to consider even those actions that could appear bad, even if that wasn't our intent at all. We need to keep in mind that anything we do to promote self is wrong and needs to go. It's that song, "Not I, but Christ be honored, exalted," however that goes, that should be our goal. So as we think about clearing question marks from our life, sometimes we need some practical discussion on what some of those things might be. And I thought I might try something here. Could I have the young men, 16 to 24, share in a few words some of the things that they have experienced or noticed that bring a question mark in someone's life? Something that doesn't ring true for a Christian to do. And later I might ask the 25 to 75 age group to share a bit too. And maybe it's a little selfish of me to do that, but it might take some of the blame off of my shoulders for seeing all the bad stuff. So I don't do well with on-the-spot answers. If somebody asks me a question, I've got to have a little time to think. So I'm going to give you a little time to think. 16 to 24, was it? Well, I tell just a short story here. Now, if you've ever felt like people are just picking on you, I think somebody said something about that this morning, I'm not sure, but and no matter how hard you try, you still can't be good enough, and that there's still a question mark on your life. If that's you, then this little story is for you. Dad used to tell the story of two men who got caught stealing sheep. Some of you older people in here will remember that and probably have a better grasp of how the story went. But it might have happened multiple times. Not sure how that was, but finally they went and branded an ST on those two men's foreheads so that people would know that they're sheep thieves. And after that, the one man got steadily worse. He was stealing, fighting, drinking, whatever all he did. After all, everyone knew he was a sheep thief. It was right here in his forehead. He couldn't get away from it, from that stigma, so he just went down, 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 deeper and deeper. The other man had the same thing on his forehead, but he was tired of living a life like that and straightened up his life, righting the wrongs that he had done. And one day, as an old white-haired man, two boys noticed that ST on his forehead, and the one boy asked what it meant. And the other boy wasn't sure, but he thought it stood for saint. So if you've made some mistakes in the past and you have an ST branded on your life, you can, by the grace of God, clear that question mark from your life and turn that sheep thief into a saint. Praise the Lord for that. The choice is yours, though. No one else can do it for you. All right, 16 to 24-year-olds, are you ready? Can you help bring some practical things or some things that you've noticed or even things that might implicate you that are like a question mark in someone's life? Raise your hand, and if I don't raise it good and high, and if I don't see you the first time, you can raise it again. Anybody right here is going to do that for me? Philip, what do you have? I guess we'll just raise your voice.
I think one big thing is the music we listen to. Mm-hmm. That can also be in our phone ringtones or in our vehicles or anywhere on the job site. That speaks a lot about what is in our heart.
I like that. The music and even the ringtones that we have speaks a lot about us. Anybody else? Or who's next, I should say. Let's be enthusiastic about this. Brother Abner said he was, what is the word I'm looking for? I'm getting old. The thing in the communion service, it exceeded your expectations, the testimony time. So, yes, so maybe this could happen here this morning. Anybody else? Who's next? Yes, please. It's very good. Financial decisions, how you spend your money. Who do we have next?
Driving habits.
Driving habits, yes. Who's next? Sheldon.
Things you like to talk about.
Things you like to talk about, your speech. Yes, Jonathan. Pursuing after fun and excitement. This is getting good. We're getting to it. Timothy. Always pushing the lines and church dress code and things like that. We're hitting dead on. Noah. Wait. The way you relate to others. And what was the last part of it? And how you treat them. Brother Phillips. Message for us this morning. Two more. You know, we had two more? Is that asking too much? Timothy.
Time spent on sports.
Time spent on sports, yes. One more bold person here, one that's got something to say. Joseph. Yes. Yes. Okay, that's good. Thank you all for that. Making people laugh, trying to, back in my day we called it showing off, I think is what it was. Very good. Those are all good things. There are things that we don't want in our life. These were things that are from the younger age group here. Very pertinent. You got most of what I had wrote down. Another thing that reminded me of something as I was out on a delivery the other week, came to this crossroads on the road, and there was all sorts of, well, it sort of looked like the center aisle here, black marks all over the place. I thought about hot rodding. That's a bad testimony for us to be doing, and I'm not aware that we're doing any of it. Just lack of interest in God's word, maybe. Yes, thank you for all those things. So let's just quickly open it up for this 25 to 75 range. Do we have somebody that's going to give us a few insights in a little older age group? It can be some of the same, but sort of the same thing. Looking for things that can be question marks in Brother Colby.
Not giving back something that's borrowed.
Not giving back something that's borrowed. Thank you. Yes. Thanks for the confession. Anything else? Don't let the young men outdo you here.
I think about the friends that we have and the people that we major with in our social life and relationships.
Yes, the friends we have, the people we're around a lot, people we enjoy to be around, tell something about us. Brother Andrew.
Easily missing church meetings.
So it shows a lack of interest in something there. Brother Philip.
Always being contentious.
Contentious? Yes. Was that a hand? I think it was.
Yeah, I was just thinking being too involved in business.
Too involved in business, that's right. Did I see something over here somewhere? Maybe not. Well, Brother Sean.
Kind of growth for the year is neglecting spending time with your family.
Neglecting spending time with your family. That is true. So very important. Jacob.
Interest in politics.
Interest in politics. Wow. That usually comes out in debates, doesn't it? It can, yes. In the back there, Jeremiah. Disregarding the law, that's right. Thank you. In our driving habits, I don't know if you got that. Brother Richard. Moral life, yes, indeed. And we have two more. I didn't count how many I got on either side here, but or either age group. Brother Amy. Yes. I had that down as driving a hard deal in business or something like that. Is that what you meant? Yeah. Do we have one more? Brother Noah.
Failure to receive admonishment.
Failure to receive admonishment. Thank you. All those are good. I had position, prestige. Some of that stuff is more in older people sometimes. Speaking evil of people, trying to be funny. So yes, here are some things to look for. So now I'm a little lost about where I was going next. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, thinking about the 16 to 24 group here. And I think the way to do that is to clear the question marks from your life. You don't do it by saying you don't despise me to the people, but by living in a way that that they can't really say anything about anything in your life. And another thing, does an area of concern can repeatedly show up in your life? If it does, take special note of it and deal with it, especially if more than one person approaches you about it. All right, clearing question marks from your life. What are some things that we can do to help in this? removing those question marks from our life. I think one big one is to bring it to the light. I can't see the people on this site quite as well anymore since that light went out. But bring things to the light. As you become aware of a question mark in your life, confess it. We've had several confessions lately in here and over in our Friday morning prayer room. And I believe as you do that, God will give pour grace into your life to resist the next time the devil tempts you. I've experienced it. I know it works. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed." 1 John 1, 9, we all know this one, I think. "If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise God for that. As we bring things to the light, we also get a clear idea of what it really looks like. Sometimes we're a little bit blind to what we're doing. And as we see a little bit more what it looks like, it can help us to resist it as we face it in the future. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Bring those things to the light. I was on a cam job, mudding a house, mudding drywall on a house. And it was a cloudy day, and I didn't have any lights in there. It was a little bit like this wall over here. And I thought I was doing a pretty good job at it, actually. It looked pretty good. But then the crew leader brought in some lights and set them up. And that light revealed what I hadn't seen before. My job wasn't as well done as I thought it was. That is how it is as we bring our deeds to the light. They stand out in sharp contrast, but at least we then know what we're working with. Okay. Clearing question marks from our life. So the book of Titus has a wealth of instruction for us as we endeavor to clear those question marks from our life. So let's turn to Titus chapter 2. We'll read that whole chapter and then part of 3 yet. So Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul is telling Titus, I think, how to, to teach. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Now, as I read that, and if I would have had that verse right in here, at that joint ministers meeting when I did that foolish, unnecessary thing, I wouldn't have done it, I don't think. I wouldn't have acted like I did there. Let's read verse 3-5. "The aged women likewise," all of the above, I guess, "that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So those verses have a lot of instructions there for the sisters. And notice the end of verse 5 there, "that the word of God be not blasphemed." I wondered if that could also mean that the name of the Lord wouldn't be blasphemed because of some failure in our actions. I might be tying something together that really doesn't need to be, but just a question there. Verses 6-8,
Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. As we look at this list of things, we see some things that were brought up. We see them in there, that we see that we don't do those things. It's very good, what y'all helped bring up here. So young men, memorize these verses and more too, and then live them out. And even your enemies will have to lay their hand on their mouth, having nothing that they can rightly accuse you of. Go for the gold in this one, like in the Olympics. And those question marks will disappear from your life. Take note of that sound speech somebody had brought up about our talk, I think. Sound speech that is enjoined or asked for there in verse 8. Let's see here, what is it? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. It will stand you in good stead. So, verse 9. Exhort servants, 9 and 10, I guess, exhort servants to obedience unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Well, this was probably talking to slaves, but I think it could apply to employees as well. I'm one of those, so let's take note of what it says there. So verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Listen for words that line up with the things that were brought up. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. How true for each one of us, I think. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A few things to highlight in these verses. Speak evil of no man. I'm not sure which verse it was, but it's there. Someone noted something about Brother David Cooper. He will not speak bad about anyone. And I think that is a good goal for each one of us to reach for. Verse 8, careful to maintain good works. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Getting those question marks out of our life. These things are not automatic. We have to stay vigilant. And turn back or forward, however you say it, a few pages to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6.
And we'll read verses 6 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But listen to this now. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. As we think about question marks in our lives, I believe that money and how we relate to it can be a big one to stumble on and fall. So we would do well to heed the warnings found here, to flee from it, follow after righteousness and all that. And thinking about driving a sharp deal and what we do with our money, all that is driven by but they that will be rich, driven by that desire for that. Usually, I don't know how else to explain it. So I wasn't sure what time I'd get done. I'm just right at the end of it here. And I had a little story here. I'm not sure if I can even relate it properly, but I'll try. Thinking about, as we examine ourselves and see some things there that don't look good, and what we tend to do sometimes. This story is about an average fence. We have some fence builders here. We'll see if they built fences like this. But that's in an Amish setting, the story was. Maybe Brother Aaron's dad might have wrote it, I'm not sure. But anyhow, this Amish farmer, was a Saturday evening, and he was up in the haymow throwing down some hay. And his neighbor came looking for him. I guess the one he was going to build a fence for. And he found him up there throwing down hay, and the Amish man said he's throwing down some hay for tomorrow, for Sunday, so he doesn't have to work so hard on Sunday. And this neighbor said, well, I'm a Christian too, and I never worried about that. And he said, yeah, I do have a few failures in my life here and there, but I'm extra strong or good in other places to make up for it. And he thought he was an average good Christian. That's what he thought. So now, this is a story, and I forget how it went, I'll say it like this, that the Amish man went out on Monday and built this man a fence. That's what he was there for. And when he came by at the end of the week to inspect the fence, he found some gaps in the fence. Here there was a gap, and here there was like three fences on top of each other. And he said, what in the world were you doing building a fence like that? And the Amish man said, well, it's an average good fence. I know there's a gap here, but I made this extra strong over here. And the neighbor thought, well, that's no good as a fence. It won't do a bit of good. And the Amish man pointed out to him that maybe that's also how it is in our Christian life. We can't just ignore some areas of our life and be extra good or so in others. An average good fence won't cut it like that. So I think that's it. We'll close with that. God bless you as you become aware of those question marks in your life and as you deal with them. We need to deal with them as we become aware of them. If you're one of those perfect ones here, God bless you. Keep on living like that as you do that. And if you're here this morning and you got an ST on your forehead or in your life, branded in your life, praise God. That can be turned into a saint. It doesn't have to be a sheep thief. So God bless each one. Thank you for listening.